look at that artwork.
Mm. It's awesome.
It's better than the film. It is yes. considerably better than the film.
Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's 4K and Blu-ray podcast for August. Tonight I'm joined by Mark Costello.
Hey everyone.
And Simon Crust.
Take two.
For our August 4K and Blu-ray podcast, we'll be offering up our usual top 10 list of recommended discs in August, and it's been a juicy bumper month. Ooh, and then we're going to deep dive into our topic of the month, which is what are some of our favourite purchases of 2024? We're going to look at five titles each that we would have spent our good hard-earned money on. But first, some competitions. You can win a LG Cinebeam Q projector worth £800, a compact and portable 4K projector with wireless connectivity for streaming, movie watching and gaming wherever you want. That closes 15th of October 2024. You can win a single Oslo home cinema seat worth £1,400 courtesy of Valencia Theatre Seating, Italian nice. Top grain Nappa leather, powered headdress and lumbar adjustments, hidden arm storage and LED lighting. That closes 31st of August. And you can win £500 to spend with MPB, the largest global platform to buy, sell, and trade in used photo and video gear. That also closes 31st of August. Head over to avforums.com/competitions to enter. All competitions open to eligible AV Forums members over 18, residents in the UK. There's also a bunch of DVD, Blu-ray, and 4K competitions
DVD
out there.
Certainly are.
There DVD. Are actually DVD competitions. I don't know whether they're at the moment. Yeah, and digital. I'm trying to get into digital. People are loving the digital.
AV Forums for the cutting edge of modern home cinema.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the best things we recommended in August. Mark, your top 10 Blu-rays for August. It was pretty good, but I was very, very torn.
In what way?
Your top one is Kurosawa, Ikiru. But your pick of the month is nothing but the best.
It's quite right. Well, I'm just doing it to mess with you. The thing is with this, Ikiru is, it's a classic. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's heartfelt. It's really quite emotional. But I think for me, despite this being a brand new BFI release, it's really quite light on extras. And for a film of its reputation and its standing and frankly, its quality, it
should have been 4K.
Deserve better. The 4K, and you know what? Ironically enough, with My Strangers at number two, that has just been announced 4K over from Shout Factory. So the reason I picked Nothing But The Best, my number three pick, is because I think it's completely unknown compared to those other two titles. But I can't see this getting a 4K release anytime soon. Nothing But The Best was absolutely fantastic. Alan Bates as a absolutely scurrilous estate agent willing to do anything to get to the top. And he does. But the pick of this is Denham Elliott. Now, if you grew up in the 80s like me, Denham Elliott was Indy's sidekick. And he was in Arthur or Trading Places? Which one was he where he was up there? I can't remember. But he always had that reputation as John Gilgood was in one of them. You're absolutely right.
It was Alpha, yeah.
But Denham Elliott had that reputation as being the cuddly old gentleman.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the dashing old chap. And in Nothing But The Best, he is Terry Thomas levels of utter cad and scoundrel.
I love it. Brilliant.
It is. In fact, Bates and Elliott could have grown into Kane and Martin in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Honestly, it's that good. So, yeah, so that's why I recommend Nothing But The Best. It was an absolute hoot. So, yeah, pick that one up. Oh, and just pick Ikaru up anyway because it's ace.
It is ace.
In our 4K list, I mean, they're all cracking apart from, and I don't know why I included it, Strangers Chapter 1. Which Sai went through. That's at the very end of the list. We got Titans, the two Titans films, trailing it in 4K, not 3D. Boy Kills World 4K, Nice to Find in 4K. That's in there. I really enjoyed that, but I'm kind of a bit grumpy about it now because, you know, he went on and did The Crow, which... No. Point Break 4K got out in the UK, and anyone who didn't get the US release should pick it up. The Woman and Offspring, I feel like this set should have had the third movie, Si.
Yeah, well, I potentially. Like it it's not anywhere near as well known or well regarded.
No, but
or any good. Or any good.
Yeah, but still, the fact it exists. Yeah. You know, I mean, I feel like they could have slid it in there.
It's yeah, not like the, I suppose they could have slapped in a DVD of it, Blu-ray.
stick it on DVD. On DVD. Yes. Yeah.
Digital code. Yes. Yeah. You're next. Second Sight doing the Lord's work with Your Next. Heather's 4K, another Arrow gem, and our friends at Fidelity in Motion. Did a nice job on Silence of the Lambs 4K, which should please everyone who noticed the US problems. I've also got at our top two the Mexico trilogy, which is actually only Desperado in 4K, but I forgive them because I really enjoyed watching Desperado again. I really, really love that nonsense movie. It's so horrifically over the top, but had me grinning from start to finish.
Kaz, would you say Desperado is like Fury Road, and therefore Once Upon a Time in Mexico is a little like Furiosa?
No, but I say Once Upon a Time in Mexico is a little like Thunderdome.
Ba-dum-tish. Oh, you wag, Harlow, wag.
I don't rate the other Mexico trilogy films as much. I have a lot of respect for what he did with Mariachi on a sperm donation. And I have...
That sounds wrong on every level. We know what you mean, Kaz, but how you worded it.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I think for what he had to pay with, which was $7,000.
$7,000.
I mean, it's insane, but it is a very amateurish movie that these days you do on your iPhone and people wouldn't watch. but Once Upon a Time in Mexico, I think he overreached. I didn't like his version of Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I didn't like the Desperado character. The Mariachi character was like a third character. I didn't particularly rate the scale or the villains. The only thing I really enjoyed was Johnny Depp. I think he was having a hoot. I think his little plastic arm man guy with his CIA things eating in the same restaurant with a gun under the table. I think he was having a ball, and I was on board with that. I almost wish they'd gone smaller and just had him. It was a lot of fun. And what was Mickey Rourke doing? But anyway, that's another story. It's still worth it for Desperado. I had a lot of problems with this trilogy, that it was a trilogy, a 4K trilogy, but it really isn't. It's just one movie in 4K. But, you know, it's nice having the trilogy. And Desperado looks fantastic in 4K. And I didn't know I would love it as much as I did revisiting it. It's just stupid things. I mean, Banderas, and you can see some of the footage. Him and Hayek are so young and so inexperienced doing it, but they look so great on screen. And some of the action footage, you've got him walking across the bar and he's slinging bullets like he's in Wanted. It just doesn't make any sense, but it's so beautiful to watch. He's shooting people and they're flying in the air for no reason. I mean, John Woo must have been looking at this going, yes, someone watches my movie. someone was paying attention. Everything. I watched some of the documentaries. Yes, I do watch the extras, Mark. I watched some of the documentaries. The one from the stunt guy is fabulous because he talks about how one of his best all-time experiences was working on Desperado, because the stunts are just, we're going to have 10 times everything you ever want. So someone's going to get shot by a shotgun, but he's not just going to fall over or get hit. He's going to fly up into the air and across and hit the room at the back. Someone else is going to get shot by two bullets and go out the window. And explosions are going to send people flying across the stage and bouncing off a wall. And we've got to build a panel on the side.
Oh, that's so metal. It was so metal.
It was such a rough production that everyone was getting injured and everything was crazy. But just hearing him talk with such delight about working on, imagine the stunt people working on something like Hard Target must have had similar tales to tell about just the crazy of John Woo. I think that this I had a ball with, and Buscemi and Tarantino were great additions on a rewatch because their little stories and their little chewy characters.
I mean, it just worked for it. I had a lot of fun with that. So that comes highly recommended. But I gave 10 out of 10 to Furiosa, which I absolutely loved, and I thought the disc was tremendous. And that's a great.
Didn't we just talk about that?
We did. But this is the disc.
The disc.
There you go. Yeah. Quick shout out to US releases, which is a catch up. They're not all August, but I've only just covered them because they take a minute to get through and then get through. Pat Garrett, Peckinpah, really
three
very
films,
much
one
enjoyed.
Disc.
Yeah, I'm going to have that. I really
really enjoyed going back over that. I got a lot of time. It worked well sitting next to Once Upon a Time in the West. This dying West feeling, really, and the characters that are just dinosaurs that exist within it. I loved it. A lot more than I had done the last watch. It's a expensive import, but you know, that comes highly recommended. Also, a couple of Hackmans, No Way Out and Narrow Margin. I mean, Hackman's great value for money. He was an interesting period here where he was still doing it and transitioning from hero to villain. And Costner, of course, coming into his own in No Way Out. I thought they were great little 80s, 90s
nice.
And again, only available on import, but worth looking at.
They'll come. Oh no, they're Kino, aren't they?
Yeah, those. Exactly. It's hard to find some of those coming through.
I was going to say the Criterion. I am waiting for the UK release of Pat Garrett because I think we will get them.
Yeah, we'll get it in 3 or 4
those
years.
Kinos.
I'm sure. Yeah,
I can wait.
Yeah, I know. Raging Bull style, and then not pick it up. Yeah, I know. I know the feeling. What's coming?
What isn't coming, Kaz?
Well, breakdown is great news because that's the example of one I was going to import. I've just spoiled it. I've just read it.
Thanks, Kaz.
Breakdown is great. And We Were Soldiers will probably... No, go on, Mark.
You know what? Why do I bother?
I don't know.
Podcast people, tell me, why do I put up... Anyway, yes.
You've got a new mic. You have to bother now. You're invested. Yeah, I can't believe you moved it.
I know. Now all my levels are off. Oh, can you hear me in Mark hands? I need more vim in Mark hands.
Breaking up.
Anyway, enough self-congratulatory backslapping. Yes, after much gnashing of teeth at the bizarre inclusion of Jonathan Mostow's classic road thriller in the Paramount Scares Volume 2 box set last month, the powers that be took note. And Paramount did indeed announce a standalone version for both the UK and the US coming in October, which is great. It is still slightly overrated.
It's not. It's a great little thriller. Great little thriller is fine. It's not a masterpiece.
Fine. You know what else is also overrated? We Were Soldiers. Mel Gibson's Vietnam. I remember nothing about it.
I remember him being really angry with a gun, and I remember... Sam Elliott is like the gunnery sergeant with his Colt, and he's just wandering around shooting people and shouting at people. He's great.
You say We Were Soldiers. I hear Wind Talkers. I don't know.
Oh God.
Just anyway, yes, that is coming the first week of October too. Warner Brothers have finally announced its long-awaited 40th anniversary of the Wes Craven classic Nightmare on Elm Street. The only problem is the huge variety of amazing VHS-inspired steelbooks, and they are quite brilliant, are all sold out. Boo. But that's coming on the 1st of October. The Brothers Warner are also supposedly streeting Shyamalan's latest Trap for November the 5th, although you never know, there might be a better film in there somewhere than there was at the cinema. However, Criterion take the cake. November slate, I mean, blimey. The 1932 Scarface, the 1954 Godzilla, Paper Moon. All right, they're throwing in a bizarre reissue of Shape of Water that looks to be the exact same Fox disc with no new extras at the moment. But of course, they then pull out Seven Samurai. Literally, it's like, mic drop, there you go, we are done, see you next year. Seven Samurai coming in November.
BFI are doing that, I'm not sure. I'm not forking out for a Criterion import Seven Samurai.
Well, it depends if it's packaged absolutely horrendously and scratches the discs every time you take it out. Because if they do, I'm having it. Anyway, back here in Blighty, Studio Canal are prepping a 70th anniversary release for the Alistair Sim Classic and Inspector Calls, which is great, on the 7th of October.
Yep.
101 Films are unleashing, literally, B-movie maestro Albert Cyborg Pyun's classic Sword and Sorcerer on 4K on the same day.
Do Cyborg the next day and then do Ticker. Do Ticker and do Ticker the work print.
Steven Seagal,
he gives a lesson to his bomb disposal cadets relating bomb disposal to Buddhist teachings. And it is absolutely classic. Yeah, the work print of Ticker is just... Anyway.
Ticker's not coming to 4K. Just on. Ignore Harlem. Warner Brothers UK are also carrying on splitting up that Paramount Scares box set with a standalone 4K of Friday the 13th Part 2. Currently, that's only announced for the UK at the moment, but I'm pretty sure that's going to get wider release nearer Halloween. And rounding off, your friends and mine at Second Sight are readying the massively, overly popular and really quite dreary Late Night with the Devil on the 4K as part of their Halloween slate. But to be fair, ignore that. Go for their what looks to be astounding 1080p version of the Blair Witch Project instead. I have already pre-ordered that and I can't wait. That's it.
As you're going to get, a review disc for that.
I don't care. The packaging, which we'll come on to, is amazing. The tat is astounding, and I really want the book that's in it because it's got clips from the. They released a book at the time because I had it. How sad is this? There was a little bit like their viral marketing thing, so it was one of those where it was almost like a non-fiction book. Mm. And if they've got loads of that in this massive hardcover, it's just going to be amazing. Anyway, Blair Witch, come on. The amount of crap I buy. If I don't buy a good film in the old tat edition, I need to have a strong word with myself.
I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's it, well, kids. Done.
Nice. Which comes onto our physical media discussion about films that we would pay our good hard money for on disc.
We have paid our good hard money for.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because we get a lot of stuff to review. But,
yeah.
But what I find interesting is the ones we've got to review where we still buy the disc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was talking to Mark about Chronicles of Riddick. He's like, I don't want the disc. I want the packaging. Because I was going to pre-order the finished copy. I've got the review discs, and he could have had the review discs, but he's like,
I was so ungrateful, wasn't I, Cass?
You were.
Stick your review discs, Harlan. Yeah. Why don't you buy
3-4K discs
exactly
of the movie?
Like, you buy me the final version, and you keep the release discs and the check discs, honestly.
Oh, man. So your first one, and this I would agree with on this. This is Second Sight's Mean Streets, which is one I had a check disc for, and I bought the big fat box. Yeah, yes,
for,
I bought the big fat box. It's unopened.
For those that are listening in glorious non-vision, I am holding up said actual proof of purchase, the Mean Streets set from Second Sight. I mean, to be fair, you could have. It was a toss up between that and the conversation. For Studio Canal. They're both classic films, great presentations, but I think certainly what Second Sight did and what they tend to do, for me, with this one, it's all about the book. You know, look at the size of that. That's not a booklet. That's an actual book. How many pages are in it? It's like 184 pages are in it. And the thing is, they're all different academics and critics putting a slightly different analysis on Mean Streets. And some of it is like watching Room 237. You think, what are you on about? You're complete freak. but it's the fact that it's the kind of film that prompts that level of discussion and dissection and being able to read it and, you know, written really well. That, to me, sold it. So, yeah, I'm a huge fan. It came out like the first week of January. Right at the start of the year, but yeah, great set that for me.
Nice. What's your pick one from yours, Si?
Pick one from mine.
Go on, go
let's,
for it.
Let's go with this one.
Can we Kindergarten see Cop. No, I can see balloons. There we go.
There
that's
we go.
It.
There
Got
we go.
It.
That's better. Right in front of my face. Awesome. Much far
is that Kino? Kino US.
This is a Kino disc, absolutely, yeah. Only available in the US. And the reason I got this, quite apart from your superlative review, was because I love the film. I love it. And it's so stupid because it's a crap film, but I love it. I absolutely love it. It's so stupid. I think I like it quite so much because Schwarzenegger starts off as every character that he's ever played, a hardened cop that just shoots and kills people. And by the end of it, he's a dad. Not literally, but he has that progression from all the way through. And I just love it. The kids are fantastic in it. I just think it's a fantastic film. It's a shame it hasn't got a UK release, although it's not super expensive to import this one.
It's interesting that a lot of our picks are imports.
Yes, that is interesting.
It is interesting. The US releases, particularly, I would say, Kino has dominated our list. I know I'm giving spoilers here, but it's absolutely dominated our list. Because they pick some titles which aren't always like the most mainstream titles, but they're really films that people would really want.
True, but I also think part of the problem is one of the ones that I was going to have on my list was one of the surprise, the Italian horror ones from Arrow, which, you know, they've been churning out and they're good transfers, but we're seeing a trend where certainly from the likes of Arrow, they're regurgitating the same extras you've already got. Take Heathers, for example. So Heathers was the recent one. You know, if you took the extras as they were, they're a good set of extras, but I already had them all. And I already had the previous release. So I literally just took the check disc, threw it in the box, and I've virtually got the exact same release that I could pay. I think that's what we're starting to see now with some of the boutiques, that regurgitation.
Although that does also speak towards our choices here and the way we're choosing them, because some are size, but not all of them, and all of mine are dictated purely by the film. And I appreciate that yours are dictated by the film, but you also need that packaging. So I'm looking at my releases, and none of them are particularly, apart from maybe Furiosa's Steelbook, none of them are particularly about the packaging. So I picked one that isn't anywhere near a 2024 release, but I only picked it up recently, is Usual Suspects, because I absolutely loved revisiting the film, and it was worth the import, another Kino title. And it was like rediscovering a film that, I'm going to sound old, but it doesn't feel like they make as many of these classics as they do. Or maybe they make so many films that seeing those classics is harder, because there have been some cracking films this year. But I watched it and I went, damn, that was a good year. That was a good year for movies. So my pick was Usual Suspects from Kino, and that's an old disc, but my God, you can't get it in the UK anymore. It's worth an import whenever, and the film still holds up. What's your second pick, Mark?
It is Shout Factory's JFK.
Mad 17 cuts, 42 discs.
So it was released basically just before Christmas last year in the States. So obviously region free UHD, unfortunately the Blu-rays are region A locked. I got this predominantly for Oliver Stone spouting off about the new transfer on it, coming out across all of sort of social media and YouTube, going on about how he's never been happy with how the film has looked on home video, how he's gone back and worked with Shout to really give this new 4K restoration the vision that it should have been. And you know what? It looks amazing. It looks absolutely amazing. The transfer is fantastic. You've only got the director's cut in 4K, but you do have the director's cut and the theatrical cut on 1080p as well as a further Blu-ray, packed full of a combination of legacy extras and a whole raft of meaty new interviews with Stone, key crew talking about the minutiae of the VFX work, all that kind of stuff. So for me, this was, the film is an absolute masterpiece. I would argue that the Netflix original crime series, you know, those documentaries were born with JFK. Because what else is it other than a three-hour Netflix true crime documentary? Except done absolutely superlatively with one of the greatest casts of all time. And, yeah,
I mean, I would believe your words a lot better if you'd written a review and put some numbers by them.
10 out of 10. There you go. Sod off. do you know what? If you'd let me review that instead of making me watch Something in the Water this morning, Kaz, I'd feel an awful lot more friendly about it.
You can review it. You can
check out my September top 10 to find out what's in the number 11 spot, kids.
Oh, man. People should comment on this podcast if they want Mark to review JFK. There you go. Right, Si, what's your second choice?
Let's go with... I'll show you here. Can we see? This is a still book.
Yeah, the Raid.
Nice.
Raid.
I have that too.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Yeah, and the reason, because it's blistering. An absolutely awesome film. And they've gone back and they've retimed, recoloured, souped up, cleaned up.
It doesn't make any sense how they made it look that good.
How they made it look so good.
It was shot on mud.
Yeah.
So hang on, James Cameron does this and he gets lambasted for it.
It doesn't look like what Cameron did.
This really looks good. This still looks good.
I'm just stirring.
Atmos out of the world. Out of the zoo. A nice looking still.
Yeah.
Ah, it's just a glorious, glorious film. I'm very, very, very happy with this. Again, bought off the back of Kaz's review.
Because Lionsgate US, still no UK release, still no Rig 2, but boom.
Absolutely. Get it. Umbrella have just put out apparently a mega super duper Australian set that trounces that one, by all accounts.
Well, I'm going in December, I might pick it up.
Really? I'm not going to say anything's going to trounce it, but okay. My next
what's
one.
For you, Kaz?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to say Furiosa. Because I went above and beyond and I got the steelbook. I think the HMV one, the HMV steelbook, which is just...
It's nice.
It's Furiosa a looker. On it. It's not the one that's just a badge. It's the one that's
actually... It's a nice looking one.
Actually her. Yes. It's gloss. It's lovely. And I love the movie and I really, really enjoyed picking it up. And I'm going to give a shout out for the... HMV cine editions of the Mad Max movies in 4K as well. They nearly made the list because I picked those up.
Yeah, they were cheap, weren't they?
They were pretty good value for what they are. And now I'm really very frustrated. My OCD is just going haywire because I've got for my Mad Max.
You know,
Max
we'll get them for the next two. You know, we will.
Yeah, but I haven't got the first one because I've got the US 4K. For Mad Max. I reviewed it.
Double dipped. Should have double dipped. Yeah.
I couldn't justify buying this cine edition. I didn't have 2 and 3 on 4K, so I bought those on the cine edition. And then I had Fury Road in 3D, so I got a Mad Max collection that came with just Fury Road in 4K and the black and chrome thing, but that's an Amaray, big fat Amaray box with all the Mad Max films and Fury Road in 4K. And
Kaz, you're making our audience's skin crawl. Just stop.
I'm putting a steelbook next to all of these. They don't go any kind of well together on the side. I might get the Mad Max VA Interceptor collection with the car and just put the car in front of them so that you can't see the boxes behind.
So Kaz, your films were all about the films and not about the packaging then. Just checking you said that.
I'm saying they're not about the extras. The packaging is super important. And the fact that I failed to adhere to any kind of rules on it has ruined me.
Because you're a rebel, Kaz. You're a rebel. Oh, you don't live by the rule. You make your own rules.
Bad time.
Max. You're like Max.
Mad.
Not in my own movie. Yes. What's your next choice?
So Vinegar Syndrome. I love them. I love a magnet clasp, as you know, Kaz. And to be fair,
No Navy SEALs?
Because Navy SEALs, let's be honest, the film is a bit tough.
No, it's not. Roadhouse. Navy SEALs.
I bought years ago.
I don't care.
No.
I'm going to put it in my list. I only watched it the other day.
Harlow, can it? Phase 4. Saul Bass, the master title person who did all of Hitchcock's titles, directed one film. He did a Charles Laughton, and he directed one film. And it's a hell of a film. A creepy little science fiction gem that riffs on the sort of almost borderline pomposity of 2001, but tells its story about mutant ants who basically take over or attempted to take over the world in the wake of a comet. Sounds ludicrous.
Sounds great. You know what?
The film is amazing. And it's because he shot real ants, no animatronic ants. These are real ants, but oh my God, what he got out of him, you would swear it was like the best CG you've ever seen. The ant photography is amazing. The film is balmy. It's got even got a little 2001 insane ending. You know, it's a great little film. But Vinegar Syndrome, what I love about them is their packaging is awesome. You know, you look at something like this, it's great. But then within it is a slip cover. So you get a slip cover. And then within it, you then get, you know, more. So there's as many sort of art
layers to
as,
it,
as you could want.
They do there's, well.
You know, there's booklets in here. There's art cards. The entire, oh, sorry, a booklet in there as well. There's art cards. The transfer is glorious. Vinegar Syndrome can be a bit hit and miss. They go a bit hot with some of their transfers, but this one is beautifully authentic. You've got two cuts of the film. You've got a feature-length making of on there. The disc is stacked. As an all-round package, I say you are going to struggle to beat the likes of Vinegar Syndrome. The only problem for us over here in the UK is that they do region lock some of their bigger Blu-rays in their 4Ks. Not all of them, but a lot of the bigger releases, the VSUs, they do tend to region lock. And all the extras are on the Blu-ray, not on the 4K. So that's the only problem for importers. But, no, I mean, that... And honestly, even if you haven't seen... I think Phase 4 is probably streaming somewhere. I think I saw it on Netflix a couple of years back. Just check the film out. It's goofy, but it's ultra-serious. It is. I would put it up there as one of the nearest things to 2001 I've seen. It's brilliant. Mm. Check it out.
Wow.
Nice.
Sorry. I thought so.
Yeah. So my next pick, I don't actually have the disc for because I lent it to my godson and he hasn't given it back to me yet. If you're watching, Dylan, give me my bloody disc back.
Yeah, come on, Dylan. Finger out, mate.
And that is Train to Busan.
Very nice.
Just the first one. Not that double disc thing, whatever
there,
it was.
There isn't any more.
Exactly. And the reason I picked that, because it's a sumptuous film. Mm. Just it draws you in. It slaps you around. It gets you shouting. It gets you excited. It brings you down. It slaps you around again. It tears your heart out. And it just keeps going. And when you think it's gone, it keeps going. It's brilliant. The transfer is good. The sound is good. The extras are great. What's not to love?
The sequel.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Wow, Harlow. That was nice. Timing that was really is good. Everything.
I'm going with The Crow, not The New Crow.
Again, what new crow?
Yeah.
What new crow?
The original Brandon Lee Crow in 4K was nice. Awesome.
I only watched the other day, actually. It's fantastic.
I'm not going to show the set because it's way over there somewhere and I cannot be bothered to get it, but I got the white one, I think, with a slip on it, Brandon Lee looking sideways, crow on his shoulder, loved it.
Great release.
It's such
an improvement over that murky old Blu-ray, wasn't it?
Yes, and it was a delight rewatching the movie. And it's things like that. I mean, most of mine speak to a sort of a 90s age of movies that I'm just in love with. And that they're the ones that you'd really pay to have on 4K. Maybe even more so than modern releases. I don't know. But yeah, Universal Monsters. Mark speaks to that for you.
Oh, that is a fabulous set.
Oh, my God.
Look at that, people. For those that can't see it, it is the coffee book set of the 8 classic Universal Monsters. Now, I have bought these films, dear God, so many times, from the full full DVD set of every single film, complete with the three busts, which are still sat in my cinema room right now, to the four Blu-ray releases, the big four. But I had to go back and rebuy, because then I wanted the individual monster sets. I've got all of them. And then when they started releasing on 4K, I said, no more, Mr. Bloody quadruple and quintuplet dipping. No, I am going to wait. I am going to wait until I get 4Ks of everything, and I'm not going to buy anything. And then this came. This is all about the packaging for me. The discs are the same. There you go. They're the same discs that are in the sets. But here, the packaging is something else. It's all the pop art, deco type design and all that. Yeah. It is, you know, it matches the Criterion Godzilla set perfectly. Yeah. Same dimensions and everything. But I just thought, you know, that is something else.
That is something else.
So, yeah.
They should release more sets like that. I'd take a Mission Impossible set like that, or a Fast and Furious set like that. I mean, that's actually surprisingly efficient on space as well.
Exactly. And of course, the thing is with them, the transfers on them are all superb. Awesome. The discs are all great.
Yeah, they are.
So it's all the same, really, same extras though. So, you know, I can't give Arrow a pass and criticize, you know, and not criticize others for the same thing. But the thing is, that's eight films. That was 100. I think it's still £100, I think. But for me, that's my jam. That is my sweet spot. Nice. So, yeah, all over that.
Your fourth pick, Si?
Oh, back to me. Okay. A film I reviewed with the Czech discs that I had to go out and buy because I love it. There we go. We see that.
Blood on Satan's
Claw. Blood on Satan's Claw.
Yeah.
Blood on Satan's Claw. Absolutely brilliant. A beautiful slipcase. Nice and cardy. Nice here. Oh, discs inside, Blu-ray. got your bit of tat inside here. I'm going to open that up and I'm going to show you the last picture because it's great. Can we see this? Are we allowed to
hold
show
it closer
this?
Closer to your face.
Oh! Boobies, bums.
I mean,
something. There was something going on there.
For those that are currently not watching on YouTube, there is nudity every week. Honestly, it's just this week we get nudity.
I mean, very nice. So it's all about the packaging for you. We lost your sound, Si. Yeah, you got so excited.
Oh, I got so excited. I pressed the button. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Yes, I did get very excited. It's a superb film. It's a superb set. I love it.
I tell you what I do like about those sides. Well, you know, when people say, we don't want new artwork, just give us the original posters.
Mm, yeah.
I would point them in the direction of these Tygon new pieces of art because they are stunning.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely amazing. All of the Tygon line, the 88 films do, the artwork is superb.
I think it's all great stuff. I think the answer is getting artists and not anyone who's ever been involved with Xavi involved.
Absolutely.
That is the answer to that. It's not. I'm okay with new art. I've seen some really lovely new art that they've done. I love the Vinegar Syndrome designs that they've done. They can do new art whenever they like. Just don't. Not the people who do the Xavi Steelbooks. No, not those people.
Not those people.
Not those people.
How's about this for some artwork?
Cracking.
If ever you needed to watch us, this is the one to watch.
Very nice. My fourth one, I'm going to go with Face Off, another Kino disc. I mean, I just love the film and getting it in 4K, enjoying it in 4K. All woo in 4K, please, right now.
Oh, yeah. That's never, ever going to happen.
Yeah, all the woo, all the classic woo I need in 4K.
Kaz, can't you watch The Killer in 4K directed by John Woo right now?
Oh, God, don't. I actually am going to watch that later tonight. Please. you've given me flash forwards.
By all intents and purposes, it's not horrible.
Oh, really?
Yes, but by not horrible, they mostly mean it is capable of being watched and not either E, the Duchess, or B, Rebel Moon.
Oh, my God, I hope Charlotte Kirk's in it. Oh my God, I really hope Charlotte Kirk.
Nobody hopes
she's your favourite. She's your favourite, Kaz. You watch everything she's in, literally.
No.
And what's your next, your final pick, Mark?
The my final pick. Strangely, no. Again, another US boutique label that hits my jam. Italian horror, Severin at this moment in time. I was really hoping to be able to sit here and hold their new release of Dario Argento's opera. But as we all know, they made a massive cock-up, and that's currently being repressed and reissued. However, what they didn't cock-up was Michel Suave's The Church. Now, this is just, they've released three of Suave's films in this kind of packaging. The same kind of consistent artwork. So they've got this, The Sect, and Dell'Amore, Dell'Amorte. But again, it's from the Vinegar Syndrome school. Multiple amazing bits of artwork here. You know, the discs themselves. This is a three-disc set with the soundtrack. Even I don't even have a CD player, but... God damn it, I love a CD
DVD
soundtrack.
Player works as a CD player.
Yeah, yeah. Just so you know. FYI. You know, yeah.
I know. Booklets and all that kind of stuff. But again, I think what's good here is the entire package, the transfer on this. I watched it this morning. Absolutely beautiful. The film is, it's just glorious. It's delirious Italian tosh about Crusade era murderous priests killing hundreds of lowly villagers and building a massive great big church on it. And then, of course, the evil gets out. The church has a crystal maze-esque trap built into it by its Barnpart architect. And, you know, goat demons come alive and, oh, it's just genius. It's just
written words and a number, Mark. Written words and a number.
It's just brilliant. You've had the words. The number is 11. There you go. But honestly, anyway, again, the problem here is the UHDs are region free. The extras discs are region A locked. But between this, The Sect, Dell'Amore, Dell'Amorte, all of them beautiful. Absolutely very beautiful.
Nice. That Dell'Amore, Dell'Amorte is a wonderful film.
Rupert Everett. Oh, it is best.
It's beautiful. I love it.
Your final pick is like my final film of the year. Well,
film of the year, absolutely, for me. Couldn't be any better. Again, another disc that I was given the checklist for, and that's what I reviewed it on, but went out and bought it because of the beautiful packaging. And just because it's so good, I have to have the original because it's just so good. Perhaps one of the quintessentially British horror. It's British folk horror. One of the greatest British horror films, nay, horror films of all time. And here we go. Witchfinder General.
Very nice.
Just absolutely nice. Awesome. Absolutely awesome. Beautiful, wonderfully. We spoke about it before, so I don't really need to go too much into it. But another
It's a lovely set.
It's a lovely set. It is a beautiful set.
I don't think you're gonna give
I'm
them
not
more
too fussed about the opening there, the Conqueror Worm, which is the American version, which is just terrible. Which is included on the set, actually, if you want to watch that.
Isn't it just the same film with boobs, Si?
Well...
boobs make everything better?
Well, they do, but, I mean, the boobs were never in the Conqueror Worm. They were in the export version, but they've been shoehorned into this Conqueror Worm version for some weird and wonderful reason. The Conqueror Worm version is the opening narration or the opening poem by Poe to tie it into that. That's where he gets his name from.
And to be fair, 88 films at least had the decency of just taking the boobs out and letting you just watch the boobs on their own.
Yes,
so
you, just,
so, you know, you don't need to watch the entire film.
You can just watch
the boobs. Yeah. more extras like that, please, boutique labels.
Since Si stole my raid, I'm actually going to go physical for the final one.
Ooh.
Get you.
Yes. And I'm going to Navy Seals it. If there's anything, I mean, look at that artwork.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's better than the film. It is considerably better than the film. In fact, if you were to watch this for an hour and a half, just stare at the artwork, you would probably... I mean, I want to watch this film.
Okay? That is not the film in the box.
It's a beautiful... Yeah, this is the film in the box. That's the film in the box. It's a beautiful set. I think that it's Vinegar Syndrome. There's no disc involved, of course. just packaging for this.
Have you opened it?
Just
have
you even cards. Opened it? I have never opened this. I am telling you, I'm opening it right now. I don't even.
What a waste.
It slides out even. Look.
What a waste. It's still in its cellophane.
In its cellophane. I have never. This is the ultimate example of packaging that I needed. And in here, there's stuff. I don't even know what the stuff is. There's more gold.
Brilliant.
There's more. I don't know.
Honestly.
Can't see it because for some reason. Oh, there we go. More golf. More golf. And there's a big box.
Oh, honestly.
Pictures from the movie, which is a bit disappointing because the artwork's better than that. And some words. Probably more than was in the script. very, very nice. Utter tosh film. Can't wait to watch it. Will clearly wait to watch it.
Brilliant. It's brilliant.
So those are some of the films that we would spend good hard cash on. And that indeed have. Is, yeah, indeed. Clearly have. Slightly delusionally so. Tapping into the OCD and completist in us. Yes, we have the 4K disc, possibly the most important element for a 4K release. And yes, we already have the packaging from the Blu-ray and DVD versions that we have since discarded. But no, we need the new 4K packaging just to complete the OCD in us. Yes, yes, they've got us by the teeth.
But it's been a good year. It's been a good year
for packaging. Good year for tat.
I don't think it's been as good a year as, say, for example, last year so far. I mean, last year we had some just monumental releases. I mean, just the likes of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Bruce Lee at Golden Harvest set were, you know, it's going to take some going to beat
those. I think more releases, though. I don't think you can always have great years because I think you're going to run out of great movies, but more releases, which is just impressive for 4K.
The gravy train is absolutely a rolling, isn't it? And it is a steady stream. And it's, you know, I think by this point, a lot of us would have expected the major studios to have rolled over, either stop doing it completely or hoik them all out to the boutiques. They haven't, you know. Yeah. You know, you look at Paramount might still be a bit hit and miss, but when they hit hard, you know. Sleepy Hollow, The Crow, really good releases. So, I think it's great. I can't wait to see what's coming for the back end of this year. Bring it on.
My bank account can wait. Right. Do let us know if there's anything we've not covered that you think we should check out, as long as we don't have to buy it. That's it for the AV
because we will.
Podcast.
We will buy it.
Thanks to the Movies team. If you enjoyed the podcast, give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Plus, hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really liked us, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/AVForums. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and bookmark AVForums.com. for the latest reviews, news, and videos. Plus, give us a 5-star rating. Just give us a 5. They don't offer you the opportunity to give us lower than 5 stars, so give us a 5-star rating. Thank you. Thank you for watching and listening. Good night.
Good night.
Night, all.